In my time with you here already, I have heard many stories of sticking with this church, even through disappointment or disagreement. Barbara Hanley told me the story of her mother, who in the 60s stuck with her Unitarian church, even when she didn't think they should merge with the Universalists. Some of you, I've heard, have stuck with this church even when there were ministers here you weren't crazy about, or even when you had to make your way through years with just part-time ministry or no minister. Some of you have stuck with this church even after a change in a tradition you cherished, such as when lighting candles for joys and sorrows was changed to dropping rocks. You've stayed even when you disagree with something that was preached from the pulpit or a decision made by the board. Or you were even hurt here somehow, yet you forgave and returned. I believe these stories of disappointment and renewed commitment are possible because this is a covenantal church. Covenant. Our religious tradition of Unitarian Universalism is built not around a creed, but around a covenant. Each Sunday in this church, we say together the affirmation printed in your order of service. If you remember, at the end, we say, "This we covenant with each other." And as many of you know, after service today, there will be a congregational meeting, and one of the things on the agenda will be to vote whether to call me as your minister. Currently, I am your hired minister, hired by the board instead of called by the congregation. It may seem like a trivial difference, but the difference is that instead of having an annual contract like a hired minister, a called minister is bound by covenant. We would pledge together to walk through the long term, committed to one another through the ups and the downs. Covenant not only describes the relationship between a called minister and the congregation, but among the congregation itself and between the congregation and other UU churches. So what does a covenant mean? If you say the word enough, covenant, it starts to feel a little cultish, like we're all about to go drink some Kool-Aid or something. Covenant. But the truth is that we all probably live by several covenants. We often have unspoken covenants in our families, for example. We stay in relationship even through differences, distance, or disagreement. Who here tolerates a lot of discomfort in their family that they wouldn't tolerate with a friend because it's family? We are committed because we sense that even though families can be challenging, they bring us life. And for those of you who are married, you are probably bound by a covenant. Vows you have taken. You know that covenant requires commitment, hard work, and includes promise-making, promise-breaking, forgiveness, and reconciliation. So a covenant means walking together in this process of being human. Covenant can be a hard thing to talk about as Unitarian Universalists because of our strong history of individualism within our country, but also in this tradition. The Unitarian Ralph Waldo Emerson, while he contributed many great things to our movement, also said, "Men descend to meet." So according to him, we should probably all just go home right now. Individualism did great things for us. It brought us the freedom to search on our own for our own truth, with our own reason, based on our own experiences. We have the Protestant Reformation to thank for that. They criticized the Church of England's hierarchy, saying that access to the sacred and to truth does not have to come down through the hierarchy of archbishop to priest to lowly person in the pew. These reformers said, "The Spirit bloweth where it listeth," which is a scriptural quote. So clearly the changes that led us to an embrace of individualism are changes we can be proud of: freedom, reason, democracy, intuition, doubt. These values we now take almost for granted, but they were the products of huge revolutions undertaken by our ancestors. They've enabled us to critique oppressive institutions and create new systems of meaning. But we often let the pendulum swing too far one way and rely too much on individualism. The Unitarian historian Conrad Wright says, "Most of us, attracted though we may be to these Emersonian concepts of individualism, pay them lip service only. To judge by what we do, we believe that religious life is nourished by companionship and is sustained, especially in times of trial, by institutional forms." In fact, to be fair to Emerson, characterizations of him as a staunch individualist are probably misunderstandings of his ideas. One historian says, "Being a free individual is only the first step for Emerson and not the end point. To be self-actualized, as Emerson saw it, was a communal vision." We should remember that even as our ancestors began to lift up the individual, they did not do so without the concept of a covenant. See, back in the 1600s, they were upending all of the traditional religious authorities of their time: hierarchy, creed, text. Their radical doctrine relocated that authority among themselves and the lived spirit among covenanted members. Churches were held together by their members' entry into a covenant to walk faithfully together in the spirit of mutual love. It came right out of their theology. God is love and can be discerned in community. They said, "Not the king or the bishop, but members of any church, gathered in heartfelt union with the spirit of love, can discern together where the spirit leads." In fact, Unitarian Henry Whitney Bellows believed revelation doesn't happen to individuals, but only in community. But man, figuring out what you stand for is easier if you don't have people who disagree with you, right? Yet how complete is that revelation when you are all alone? Do any of us dare say that we have the ultimate answer as how to live in this beautiful but messy world? And even if we say we do have the answer, how many of us can say that we can live it out day to day all by ourselves without help? We need each other, and so we also need a covenant. Because we have a hard and important job in front of us. As Unitarian Universalists, we strive to create a big enough place in which everyone is welcome, and yet we still have to stand for something. Ironically, I think the misconception about Unitarian Universalism that both attracts people to it and repels people from it is the misconception that you can believe anything and be a Unitarian Universalist. And I bet those who are attracted by that idea probably won't stay long if they can't find something of greater depth. We talked about this question just this past Wednesday in our new to UU classes, where over a dozen of us have been gathering. The question came up, "Can you believe anything here? Is literally everyone welcome?" My answer was, yes, in part. Everyone is welcome. Because this is a church not about right belief, but about right relationship, covenant. So the question is always, how is the relationship? Everyone is welcome, but if you come here with certain things, like fundamentalism from any tradition, the belief that your way is the only way, the relationship is going to be uncomfortable. If you come here as a perfectionist, expecting perfection in this inevitably human, imperfect community, the relationship is going to be uncomfortable. If you value only comfort in this place that values diversity and encourages spiritual growth, you're going to be uncomfortable. So the answer always comes back to relationship, covenant. If you look closely at our seven principles printed on the back of your order of service, they're really all about relationship. Values that help us navigate the messy process of living in the world and trying to stand for something. UUs have encountered places in their history where taking a stand has meant really testing that covenant. Because in order to take a stand, there's often disagreement. This has happened in our history in the context of abolition, civil rights, the humanist critique, the suffrage movement, women's ordination, LGBTQ rights. And one of my heroes, Ginny Corder, the previous moderator of the Unitarian Universalist Association, told me once in a class on UU governance, "We need people with more patience with the tedious, because democracy is tedious." Calls to just speed things up usually require leaving out those on the margins, which means that our decisions will just end up replicating the status quo. Top-down decisions leave no room for that new thing, that revelation that may emerge from the mystery of dedicated communities covenanting to search together for new ways forward. The UU minister, Victoria Safford, reflected, "Someone said to me not long ago, covenant is a promise I keep to myself about the kind of person I want to be, the kind of life I mean to have, together with other people and with all other living things. A covenant is an aspiration to go deeper in relation to ourselves, to our best intention, to our God, and to each other." So when we covenant with one another, we commit ourselves to a process. As the poet Antonio Machado said, "Caminante, no hay camino. Se hace el camino al andar." Traveler, there is no way. We make the way by walking. We here represent an alternative to religious fundamentalism, the fundamentalism that is tearing our world apart. Democracy can cure fundamentalism, but do we have many examples of functioning democracies at their best? So the need is great indeed for places where we learn how to work together to make a new way that values diversity, works for justice, and builds a beloved community. Let this be a place where we live out that goal, that covenant, because our world needs people to show the way. May it be so. Amen and blessed be.